Welcome to The Laptop Lifestyle. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, digital content creator for brands and companies and online entrepreneur. Whether you're running a business full-time, starting a side hustle, or just beginning to think about starting a business, you are in the right place. The Laptop Lifestyle is for you, the unconventional thinker, the person who isn't afraid to step outside of their comfort zone and pursue creativity over complacency. Each week, we will unlock how to build passionate online communities and thriving online businesses. All right, Laptop Lifestylers, let's jump in. Hello, hello, Laptop Lifestylers. Guys, I missed you guys so much. I'm so excited to come back with another amazing episode of the Laptop Lifestyle. And I just want to thank you guys for being here. This is honestly one of my most favorite things I create is the podcast. And I do it for all of you guys. Connecting with you guys on the internet is like my favorite thing in the whole world. So I just want to give a huge shout out to all of you guys that come back every week and listen to the show. And if it's your first time, welcome. I'm so excited that you're here. And I'll tell you what, we are kicking this off with an amazing guest. Okay, I got to tell you guys a little bit about today's guest. His name is Travis Barton. He is an international life and business coach, speaker, and author. So Travis is an expert at taking people who want to be extraordinary to new epic heights through what he calls adventurous coaching for extraordinary people. It's honestly, he's one of the most impactful and inspiring people to listen to talk. I'm so excited for you guys to experience this today because honestly, there were moments where I didn't even know what to say back to him because I was just so like taken by how powerful his words were. So I'm so excited that you guys get to experience this today. He has personally worked with a variety of people one-on-one, from executives and CEOs to athletes and actors to other coaches and entrepreneurs, kind of supporting and challenging them in a powerful space to move passionately toward their dreams and goals. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always like in hot pursuit of my dreams and my goals. And in this episode specifically, we're going to talk about how to discover who you really are and find your life purpose, kind of embarking on your own hero's journey. We also talk about how to answer your very own call to adventure and show up big in the world, which can be very scary. And then also the key elements to really overcoming your fears and kind of cultivating happiness in your life. We also dig into how to deal with haters, which is one of my favorite aspects of the show, as we talk a lot about how do you step into yourself while also not letting the negativity of others speak into your life. It's extremely powerful. I'm just so excited for you guys to dig into this episode. But before we do, I have two quick things I want to ask you to do. One is if you're listening to the show on your podcast player, go ahead and screenshot it and go over to Instagram, upload it to your story and tag me in it. I absolutely love when you guys do this because it's honestly how I get to know who my listeners are. So I love DMing you guys and asking you guys what you guys are learning from the show or what you want to hear next. Two, this is really exciting. The Laptop Lifestyle now has an apparel line. I know. I'm so excited. So I just launched new shirts, just a Laptop Lifestyle shirts along with a hat that says hashtag the Laptop Lifestyle. The t-shirt, there's just one t-shirt. It's a white tee. Everyone needs a white tee. And it has a really cool Wi-Fi signal, a coffee cup, and an airplane. And it says hashtag the Laptop Lifestyle. I know, guys. I'm like so excited. If you guys are interested in checking out the new apparel line, just go to thelaptoplifestyle.show. And then on the home bar there, there will be a tab for apparel. And I'll also just put that link in the description of this podcast for you guys in case you guys want to go check out the new apparel line. All right, guys, that's enough for me. Let's dig into Travis Barton on the Laptop Lifestyle. Hey, hey, Laptop Lifestylers. It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here. And today on the podcast, we have my brand new friend, Travis Barton. He is recording from all the way around the world. I'm in America and he is all the way over in Australia. You're in the future right now, Travis. How does that feel?
It's strange. I've been living here for about 6 months and I'm still getting used to that. I'm still going to the Western Hemisphere clock and thinking like today is Monday, or no, today's Tuesday over here and it's Monday there, but I'm still saying like, oh, it's Monday, because you know, all my clients and everything I work with and all my friends and family. So it's really weird, actually. I'm still not used to it.
Yeah, I love it. It's like you're kind of cheating the system. You're like, you're working in the future, but you're talking to everybody else in the past.
It's totally weird. I'm serious.
Well, I'm so excited that you're on the podcast today. I am just so inspired by the work you do, the clients you work with, just your messaging that you put out on the internet. I'm really inspired by how honest you are. And so I'm just really happy that you're on the show today to just kind of speak that honesty to my community. And I just kind of want to take it back to how you even got into the life coach consulting space.
Yeah, growing up, I was always that kid. All throughout my years growing up, I was always that kid that pushed people towards greatness without even realizing that's what I was doing. So I was always, people had a dream and I was always the person saying, why not? What's stopping you? And so I always had that level of wanting to inspire and seeing the world through that lens, through the lens of positivity and possibility. And so when I discovered what coaching even was, it was just kind of a moment of clarity for me. And I just said, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Cause I'm doing it all the time anyway. And when I discovered what it was, I was bartending and I was, working at a cigar lounge and this guy came in and he told me that's what he did. And I went, man, I've been doing this bartending for years anyway, on one level. So, people come into the bar and they share their dreams and I'd always kind of, talk with them through that. And so I discovered what that was and I just stepped into it full force and just jumped into it and learned how to be the best coach that I could, learned how to run a coaching business. I got mentors, qualifications, all that stuff. I just went in full force and created a life doing it. So it was always kind of in me already.
That's amazing. Isn't it interesting how there are all these little, I guess, nudges from the universe and God that kind of push you into this path. And you don't even sometimes realize that you're on the path until you look back and look at it from the, you know what I'm saying? Like you, all these dots connect and you're like, oh, this is what I kind of have always been doing, but now I get to make money and have a living from it.
Well, you're totally right. And people, I think, cause one of the things I help people do is work on purpose and discover their purpose and create a life doing it. And I always say, so many people come to me and they think purpose is out there. We live in a world where we think, fulfillment is out there, out in the world, or purpose and happiness and all these things. That's not true. It's within you, even purpose is. And it's been reminding you and nudging you towards that. The universe or God or whatever you want to call it has been nudging you towards purpose your whole life. It's not about adding more. It's about really taking off or having less and really getting rid of the, expectations and pressures that have been burdened upon you and all these things and really discovering what's at the center of your heartbeat. It's like myself, I can use my own instance as an example. It was always there waiting. Just, it was always sitting there saying, hey, come out and play. Come on, come step into this. And it was me that was ignoring it because of, certain things and, I should be doing this with my life and I shouldn't be doing this. And it wasn't until I started listening to my own heartbeat and quit listening to everybody else that I really got to hear that call to adventure.
I love that. I think so often as laptop lifestylers, we're kind of like the ones that kind of break out of the norm. We're kind of the rule breakers. We're unconventional workers. We work from home or you move to a different country and work from across the world. Right. And so I'm interested in, why do you think people take so long to find their purpose? And like, why, is it society? Is it, this pressure that we feel externally that, makes us feel like we have to fit in some kind of box? Like, what is it that you think keeps people from really leaning into their purpose?
I think you just tapped into it right there. Is it something external that's preventing us from tapping into our purpose? And you just pretty much answer your own question. And if I can elaborate on that, it's fear. We live in a world where we allow our fears to dictate the course of our lives rather than the own rhythm of our heart. What happens when we allow that to happen? What happens when we base decisions based on our fears? We're not living much of a fulfilled life, are we? We're kind of living very stagnant. And this is the kind of life where we wake up in the middle of the night and we wake up going, holy crap, where did my life go? And we die with regrets. There's a certain, you know, following a dream, following a laptop lifestyle, especially, that there's a certain threshold that you have to cross. There's a certain fear that you have to cross to get to that point, to live that life. But with anything that's great, anything that's extraordinary in this world, anything that's truly remarkable that you're going to live, takes a certain level of fear that you're going to have to overcome. And I want to let people know that the fear is always going to be there as long as you're 6 feet above ground. You know, it's always there. That's something that's always there within us. But what you can choose to do is respond to that fear and choose to own your hero and really step into that in a very powerful and courageous way. I see too many people kind of allowing that fear to dictate the course of their life. And that's the ultimate sadness to me. Yeah. And because what I know is I know that fear is typically nothing more than just an unfounded construct of our imagination, right? What do we typically do? We go, worst case scenario, this is inevitably going to happen, right?
Right.
But that's not inevitably what's going to happen. And that's hardly what's going to happen, right? So it's a matter of kind of analyzing that fear and being mindful of it and saying, all right, how can I step into this powerfully, right? Don't be an idiot and quit your job tomorrow and go like, I want to go ride horses for the rest of my life, you know, because that's not going to work. You need to be mindful of it. And really use that fear as something to teach you. What is this showing me? Why am I scared? And really, you know, step into that in a very courageous way. But I think it's fear and it's societal pressures, right? Growing up, I was supposed to go to a certain type of school. I was supposed to have this much money by this age, but I was supposed to, you know, do all these things. I was supposed to have a house with a white picket fence and a dog and two kids, right? But my heart was telling me, travel. My heart was telling me coach. My heart was telling me inspire, right? So if I would have followed down the path of shoulds, I would have never been on this path of, you know, what I want.
I'm obsessed with that because I also call that path the path of should too. So we're already like we're telepathically connected, Travis.
That's right. Official.
I know. I love what you said earlier about owning your hero. And I think that is so powerful, but I know there are a lot of people that are scared to really lean into their hero and to, you know, battle insecurity and battle stress and battle societal, you know, pressures. So what are some things that people can do to really like tactically overcome that and really lean into finding or owning their hero?
Well, I'm a big fan of writing things down and planning as much as you can. I always talk about the call to adventure in your heart, right? And any great adventure is you can't plan every step of the way, but you can plan the first, you know, bit, and you can plan as best as you can, right? So I think typically what overcoming that fear and stepping into your hero is creating a vision. What I always work with people on first is figuring out what your inner compass is telling you, your core values. And your compass, your core values are your compass always going to point you to your north, right? And that's never going to let you fail. So identifying what's important to you and your life and choosing to live with integrity with that. See, that's the question. Most people believe certain things and they think certain things are important, but they don't live with integrity, right? Their actions, their language, and their even thinking is out of alignment with their core values. And thus we live a life of complete discord, right? So finding out what those values are, your compass, choosing to live integrity with those, walking to true north, and building your map to an extraordinary life. So figuring out, let's say what your 3-year vision is. And what I love to do is, Alexis, I love to do this because most people aren't used to answering a question like this. What do you want? And people say, well, I don't know. I want this and this and this. And I say, no, what do you really want? If happiness paid the bills, I love these two questions because it changes everything. I want to take away the societal pressures. I want to take away the impositions. I want to take away the expectation. I want to take away all that crap that's been burdened on you. And I want to just go down to your heartbeat. If your happiness paid the bills and you weren't scared, what would you do with your life? And you start to think in with that lens of possibility, and you start to really swing for the fences in life. Just thinking, and I would say, let's just assume you're not going to, but if you could, you know, it's just kind of hypothetical here. What would you do? And you start to talk to these people, and it's just so uplifting and inspiring and so energetic and fun. And so we paint a picture. Mm-hmm. What's that 3-year vision? If you knew you couldn't fail, right? and you go, oh, I'm going to travel the world and I'm going to create a laptop lifestyle. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to ride horses and I'm going to go skydiving. And I've had clients do all sorts of crazy fun, ideas. Right. And so I go, okay, great. And they go, yeah, but only if I could. And I said, all right, great. Let's create that map. Let's create the plan. So what I want you to do is I want you to reverse engineer your dreams essentially. And we do that by creating a backwards flow chart. So let's say your vision in 3 years is laptop lifestyle, traveling the world. I'm making 6 figures a year. I've been to whatever. I want you to be as specific as possible. Let's work backwards. What must happen in 2 years to make that 3-year dream a reality?
I love that.
Right? For a lot of people, still pretty unrealistic, right? But okay. Okay. What must happen in 1 year to make the 2-year dream a reality? Okay. Well, this is getting a little more realistic. And then we go 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, and then my favorite, today. What is one powerful action you can take today into that? Because once you start building momentum, right? Once you take the first step onto that hero's journey, you have momentum. You are walking the path, right? And holding yourself accountable, or having somebody hold you accountable towards getting the rest of those going. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's certainly much easier having a plan,
right,
than not. Right. I think that's the most important thing. Right. Yeah. Any great hero or any great adventure has to have a compass and a map. Right. They're not going to just go out into the wilderness and just, expect to find the elixir of life and right. Return with it. You got to figure it out, a plan. Right.
Right. And if you don't have a plan, I feel like you're less likely to actually implement. Like, there's a difference between being inspired and then actually taking action. Like, there's so many things I'm inspired to do, but they really lack the action behind it to make it happen. So that's why creating a plan allows me to kind of solidify that inspiration and turning it into manifesting it into something real. And I've noticed the older I get, the less likely I am to take risks. Do you ever experience that, Travis? Like, the older you get, the more it's like, well, like, this is security and I've got good benefits and I feel comfortable, I feel safe. And honestly, I now realize how easy it is for people to feel like they are kind of stuck in the life that they're in and they can't get out in any way. It's like, the older I get, the more comfortable I am. And so I always try to find ways to combat that. I combat that with like travel and doing a bunch of things that really push me outside of my comfort zone, because I want to be very aware. I don't want to feel stuck. But I mean, I feel like that's a very real thing, that idea of risk. And then, whenever you really do step outside of your comfort zone, you kind of blow risk up. like you're totally blowing up that box that you used to live in, and you're trying to create something else. So I don't know. There's not really a question in there. It's more so just a conversation of like, how do you, you make this plan, but then how do you also really get realistic about the risks that come along with the plan?
Well, I think getting realistic with the risks that come along with it and having a plan for that. I think you said something important just a bit earlier. You said that, as you get older, you kind of start to tend to kind of get a little more comfortable, and that's okay. But the question is there something calling you for more? And if there is, it's important to step into that. I get a picture of myself as a little kid. And for me, that's like my spirit animal, right? It's like a kid, because that kid was like, just, man, he was just, you go out there and live, yeah. It didn't matter what the risk, it didn't matter what the risks were, but I was very, as a kid, and most of us as kids growing up, what do? We fall, we scrape our knees, and we learn from it. Right. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to go never ride a bike just because we might possibly maybe scrape our knees. We didn't care. Right.
Right.
We were like, me as a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. Right. And it wasn't a question I was really young. It wasn't a question of, if it was a question of when, right? I was full force into it, man. I was learning about it. There wasn't a level of fear in there. And of course, I grew older and I learned new things about myself and what I really wanted to do. But, you weren't scared as a kid. And if you were, you took precautions, but it wasn't stagnation. It didn't prevent you from going. I think you knew more or less as a kid, before you kind of learned about society's, level of fear, that as a kid, you kind of understood that fear was not true typically. And I'm not saying that it's not true. It's just that fear has become this guiding force in our lives, and it shouldn't be that way. And as a kid, I think we knew it. And before we had kind of people telling us to be scared all the time and don't do this, and growing older and stepping into your life in a powerful way and dealing with risk, I think it's important to understand what the risks are, but not to let them prevent you from really living your life.
Right.
Really understanding that and you know, like any great business, any successful business has, you know, a risk assessment, mm-hmm. right? And doing that for your life. What are the risks? Okay, let's say worst case scenario, if this does happen, right? And again, being mindful of what could happen, typically you might find that it's not that bad. And if it is that bad, guess what? I got a plan now to deal with it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that helps us cultivate a bit of courage there as well.
Yeah, I love that. Bravery is something that I've tried to focus a lot on in the last 5 years of my life. Not that I didn't have it before, but really as an adult, like leaning into that courage and that bravery that it takes to, you know, be inspirational and to build a community and also be willing to be vulnerable. And vulnerability is one of my favorite topics on the planet. And it's something, the reason it's my favorite thing to talk about is because it's something that I struggle with. And so like in my struggle, I'm trying to find ways to be more vulnerable. And how has vulnerability played a role in your life? And then how do you also help clients, you know, kind of navigate through that?
Well, vulnerability is like my jam because the things that I share,
I love it.
The things that I share online. Yeah. I mean, you gotta be vulnerable. I mean, I think especially where I'm coming from, I'm in an industry. Let's be honest, it's kind of, it's everybody is pretending they got it all figured out and everybody's going like, oh, I'm happy all the time, man. Nobody. It's okay to have negative emotions, right? It's just how you're going to deal with it. That counts, right? If you don't have things in your life that are not going perfect all the time, you're a robot. Let's be honest, right?
Right.
But the question is how you deal with it, right? So, and this, you see guys like Ty Lopez and stuff, like renting out mansions and that they clearly don't own, and Lamborghinis and stuff to prove to people
their worth,
that there's something that they're not. Yeah, to prove their worth. It's insane. You know, Instagram. You know, we see girls and guys on Instagram. They go, oh, I want to be Instagram ready. That's like the new thing. I feel so out of touch. Is that even still a thing? I don't even know.
I'm like, are the kids
still saying that?
I'm super out of touch, Travis, because I've never even heard that expression, Instagram ready.
Yeah, I got to be Instagram ready, right? And so you know, it's so clearly not authentic, and nobody shares their hurt or their story. And I think where I'm coming from, I'm so jaded with that whole side of this industry. And I think it's so fake. And I think it's so incredibly disrespectful to your audience. And so I think it's been my journey to share my story and be as vulnerable and be as real and be as authentic as I possibly can. Also, I'll be honest, it helps me hold myself accountable, walk my walk. There's a rhythm and flow to life. There's a rhythm and flow, Alexis, and there's nothing we can do about that rhythm and flow, right?
Ups and downs.
As a surfer, I always say, there's ups and downs. There's always going to be that. There's always going to be that. You can't change that. That's the rhythm of the world. That's yin yang. That's the seasons of the world, right? But what we can choose to do is change how we choose to respond to it. As a surfer, I always say, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf, right? So I share that, and it holds me accountable to keep surfing and to catch the wave and to deal with it in a powerful way and to approach it in the spirit of a hero. And I always say, if every challenge were sent to me is an adventure in disguise, how would I step into it differently? If every challenge or problem were sent to me as a lesson in disguise, what would the universe just be begging to teach me with this? And when you're going through these things, it can be difficult to approach it in a mindful way. You want to be reactive, not responsive.
I was literally just thinking that, Travis. That's so crazy that you said that. Because I think so often we are very reactive and not proactive. We let things happen to us versus going out and actively living the life that we want.
Totally. And that's the issue here. That's the whole crux of what we're talking about in this whole podcast. Is we are reactive to things that happen in our lives. We are reactive to fear. We are reactive to what people say we should be doing with our life. We're reactive to the six-figure job that comes, even though it's not going to fill our soul. We're reactive to these things instead of responsive, instead of being proactive. And I guess to get back to your earlier question about vulnerability, it holds me to being that. And I, what I do find is my audience certainly feels a bit more connected through that. I'm not fake. I'm never going to be fake. I never want to pretend to be fake. You know, I share my story and I'm proud of it. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I just finished a book and it's, you know, when it comes out, I shared stuff in there that I never thought I'd share before. But it's my story. And I feel like if it's going to inspire people, then who am I to not put it in there? Hemingway said, write drunk and edit sober. And I certainly took that spirit into the book. I didn't always write literally drunk, but in spirit, right? I certainly bled on the page, as you would say. And I try to do that in my life as well. Just be authentic. Be vulnerable. If you're not too, take it outside the business. If you're not vulnerable, if you're not authentic, all you're trying to do is impress people. And think about that for a minute. If all you're doing is impressing people, right? You're essentially wearing a mask. You're not who you really authentically, vulnerably are. And by doing that, you're bringing in all the wrong people into your life that aren't going to love you for who you are. And you're shutting away the people who would love you for who you are, right? So you're making a clear choice there, right? By not being vulnerable, so being open and being authentic.
And you are really missing out on true connection. Like the humanity side of living is like the true connection between two people. And it's really difficult to connect whenever you're trying to impress people all the time.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. I mean, we go through the world trying to impress people we don't even like so that we can have them in our lives mm-hmm. more.
I know. What?
But again, that's going back to being reactive. It's like we're just kind of a society that's built on like, you know, leveling up in society and kind of you want people to like us, even though if everybody likes you, that means you're not living true to yourself.
Yes.
Winston Churchill said that if you have enemies, good, it means you've stood for something at some point in your life. Go out there and stand for something. Go out there and be you. Go live your life. Don't live it for somebody else, right? Be vulnerable. Be real. Be raw. Be authentic. Totally.
I love that. I was reading your one of your most recent Instagram posts. I remember it was from a couple of weeks ago, but it said that you got a DM. I hope you're okay with talking about this on the show, but it said that you got from someone that was in your past and they said, you've changed. And I just, oh my gosh, I just lived for your post. Can you share a little bit about your reaction to that? And I thought it was so inspiring because I think when you do step into your true self and you are really, you know, you're self-aware, you're vulnerable, you're really trying to live the best life for yourself and the people around you, you do change. I mean, change is inevitable whenever you're living, you know, whenever you're living your truth, and people are going to notice that, and not everyone's going to like it. And so, yeah, you tell your story because I just love this so much.
Well, you just asked, you said, is it okay if we talk about this? I hope you're okay with it. And what if I, after all that whole talk on authenticity and being vulnerable and real, I was like, nah, I'm not really comfortable with that. I actually deleted that post. It was very, very confronting for a lot of people. I was, you know, I'm used to this. I mean, being in a personal branded business and working with, you know, sharing my story and, you know, personal development and all these things. I'm naturally, you know, you're going to get haters. Again, Winston Churchill, right? If you've had enemies, good. That means you've stood for something. It's a reminder to me that I'm doing something right. So anyway, this person sent me a direct message on Instagram, and I hadn't talked to them in a long time. And I learned why. It's because when I got into the personal development, inspirational coaching space, living, you know, my passion, they decided they didn't like this version of Travis. So they didn't like it when I started to eat healthy. They didn't like it when I started running a business. They didn't like it when I, posted inspirational content. They didn't like any of this. I remember them at one point telling me, man, you're working on your business too much. You're just working too much. And I'm going, you spend 50 hours a week at your office and I'm only really working on my business about 30 hours a week. So what are we talking about? Right. So it was this change that really shook this person up apparently. So we stopped talking, which was fine. You know, at the time I was reading a lot of Jim Rohn and he talks about the five people you spend the most time with. Right. And you know, the law of association, as far as I'm concerned, it's the law of association. You're going to be most likely to fly people you spend the most time with. So you got to cut out what's not serving you to fly. Right. And when you do, you have room to fly. So I was like, great. If this person's not happy with me doing this, and it sucks, but apparently they're not who I thought they were, and they don't like me for who I really am. So this person, apparently liked me more when I was depressed, anxious, and broke and chubby. So I guess whatever. Right. And so they messaged me and saying, you know, basically in a nutshell, you've changed. And for me, that was like, thank you. Wow. You know, I was like, thank you. Right. Oh my God. So, I always say that when people say like, you've changed in a condescending way, that's like a caterpillar saying it to a butterfly, right? Like, you've changed. And the butterfly's going like, yeah, I have. What's the issue here? Right. What's the problem? It's just that you're scared of people to spread their wings. And for me, that was a clear,
yeah.
I think for most people, we'd react to that and we'd say, wow, that hurts. But for me, there was a level of, thank you, because it's validation that I'm doing something. Because if you're pleasing everyone, you're not, I don't think, like I said, you're not really living to your heartbeat. And I truly do my best to live to my heartbeat. And I understand that. And some people, you know, and I'll be honest, I've had some people closer than this person completely just kind of go, we go our separate ways, you know. And so it was okay, but it was a level of just made me more aware that like, wow, I've come a long way in my life, and I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that, and you have to be too. That was a good eye opener for me, and it was pretty neat actually. So, and I said, hey, thank you, and they didn't respond. So I don't know what they thought to that. I'm sure they saw the post of me posting them with a champagne flute saying, hey, cheers to the haters. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. I love this story so much because I've even had people in my life kind of ridicule me. I mean, whenever you're building a personal brand, you're building an online community, there's a certain level of that has to be you. Like, it's your face, it's your name, you know, like, that's just kind of the way that goes, unless you're building a company of, you know, 10, 15, 100 people. So whenever you're building a personal brand, that comes along with you being personal and you're a part of your brand. And I think that's something that sometimes people that aren't an entrepreneur and aren't in business don't quite understand. And some even have people are like, why do you post pictures of yourself all the time? Or why do you post all the time? Like, I don't understand why. Like, what, why? And like, well, it's because people are connecting with me, like human to human. You know, not human to business. And so I think that's like the difference there too, is people don't always understand that I'm building a community that's predominantly a part of my brand and my name. And I don't know. I think, what do you think about that? I think that there's some misconceptions about this, because people are like, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I don't want to talk about myself, or I don't want to share anything about my life.
I was in a mastermind with a writing, she was going to teach you how to write a book in, this is a perfect example of this. She's going to teach you how to write a book in 30 days, 30 or 60 days. I can't remember, whatever. Let's say 30 days. So she was going to teach aspiring authors how to write their first book in 30 days or less. And she had this amazing program. I went through it and I joked with her. I was like, man, I needed you when I wrote my first book, because it took me a year and a half to finish that thing. Right. And I noticed she was never on camera in the mastermind. And then, so she was asking for help. She wasn't getting clients. I'm like, man, you have this amazing program. I'm looking, she, you know, sent it to me, and I'm looking through it and I'm like, this is a great program. And you work with, this is so needed for so many people. Right. And she was never on camera. I looked through her website. She didn't have any pictures of her. I said, why don't you have any photos of you? And she goes, well, I'm just not comfortable in front of the camera. And I said, well, I saw a photo of her. Like, she had one picture on her Facebook. And I said, there's nothing. She goes, I'm not going to do it. And she was not open to being on camera. And she was an author herself, but she wanted to separate her writing from her coaching, as you would say, like her, you know, helping people write their books. And I'm like, you need to share the whole package. You need to share your story. She goes, oh, I have a separate Twitter and a separate Facebook for my author page and my coaching page. I'm like, what in the world? People need like a proof that you're authority. Who you are. They need to see that you're writing books, like an authority, right? She's written something like 40 books. And she pops them out like R.L. Stine wrote Goosebumps back in the day, right? Like every month, right? Oh, remember that? And right, so if R.L. Stine's going to pitch a program, so I'm going to teach you how to write your first book in 30 days or less, you'd go, hell yeah, because I know he's done it. He does it on a monthly basis, right? Man, I am totally dating myself right now. I hope you even know what I'm talking about. Yeah, anyway, okay, good. Yeah. I love those as a kid. So my point is you definitely listen to him. If he had a program or if he's talking about how to do it, you would listen to him, right? So she's doing it, but she doesn't want to share that she's doing it. There was some level that something there that was her threshold, her fear that she had to get through. And so we finished the master. It was a mastermind. She wasn't a private client of mine, but it was a mastermind. And I kept going on. I said, you need to step through this. And she just absolutely 100% unequivocally refused. And she finished the mastermind, no better off, because that was her threshold. You know, on the other side of fear is your dreams. Everything you ever want is on the other side of your fear. And her big fear in this case was showing up into the space in an authentic way. And as a result, she didn't step into it, and she was no better off. But tell you this story to impress upon people that it's so important as an entrepreneur, especially as a personal brand, to share who you are, to share your story. And listen, I hated being on a camera. I hated doing videos when I first started. I didn't like it, believe it or not. But I did it and I stepped into it. And pretty soon the uncomfortable became a little less uncomfortable. And then over time that the super uncomfortable became pretty comfortable. And then over time the super uncomfortable became actually something I kind of enjoyed doing because I saw how much it inspired people. And it opened up the doors for conversation and for life change, right? People aren't going to be inspired by me posting a quote by Tony Robbins on my Instagram. They're going to be inspired by seeing me walk the walk, right? I see too many people that want to be laptop lifestyle entrepreneurs. They have this, they just share other people's content and they expect to see like
dollars roll in,
you know, revenue dollars from it, right? Yeah. And that's not the case. Yeah. Like I'm going to share Travis's stuff, but expect them to come find me and hire me. I'm going to share Tony Robbins or Alexis's stuff and expect them to come and join my tribe, right? That's not the case. I want to hear your story. Like, share it, great, but share your stuff too, right? I want to see your stuff because there's a magic about you that you have that people out in the world want a piece of, all right? I mean, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you're doing, that's the case, right? And the sooner you step into it, the better off you're going to be and the more you're going to inspire your tribe.
So how do you encourage people to really stand out in business? Because like, you know, being a laptop lifestyle, being a blogger, being a life coach, you know, being an entrepreneur or really anything on the internet, it's a saturated space. So how do you really stand out and find your community? Because I don't want to say that to discourage people. Yes, it's a saturated place, but there's still a place for you. But you also have to be mindful that it is saturated and then really focus on how you can attract your tribe. So how do you encourage people to do that?
I think the fact that it is saturated is good because it's proof of concept that it's right. There's a market for it, right? But here's where you can stand in your power here. It's because it's saturated, but let's be honest, I'm in any space that you look at, you can look at coaching, you can look at teaching people how to write a book, you can look at whatever business you're trying to run. Okay. It's going to be saturated to a point, I'm sure. But I'm sure most of the people are doing a lot of the same things. So they're trying to be the next, Brendan Burchard, or they're trying to be the next, you know, whoever, right? So my number one rule in business and in life is very simple. It's don't be boring. Okay, so be you, be raw, be authentic, share your story, right? Share your story. Share your story, create value, ask for a sale. Okay? Share your story, create value, ask for a sale. Okay? You do that and you step into your life and your business in that way. I talk about being epic and bold. Most of the content that you put out should be one of those two things. It should be bold. It should get people talking. It should speak to your heartbeat unapologetically. Or it should be epic. It should be so damn inspiring and so in accordance with your values that it just gets people fired up, right? So you share epic and bold content and you do it on a consistent basis and you show up powerfully into your business consistently. Now we're really talking. One of the first things I do with new business owners is I help them stand out from the crowd. I don't want you to be like anybody else. You shouldn't want to be like everybody else. You should really ask yourself, what is it that makes you tick? What are your strengths? What are you good at? What do you love doing? What inspires you? Go out into the world and bring that to the world. Come up with your mission. Ask yourself very simply, who do I want to serve? Who is the ideal person that I would want to serve? I always ask myself, when I get on possibility calls with people, I say, listen, I love waking up in the morning, grabbing my coffee, opening my computer, and knowing that I get to coach these incredible people. Right? I love my clients, but that's because I only take on clients I love. Right? And so ask yourself, who is that ideal person that I want to serve? Part of purpose is service. So go ask yourself that and then ask yourself, what is their biggest pain point and what is the pleasure that's going to happen as a result of them working with me? And you go out and give your mission in accordance with that, or give your business in accordance with that mission, pain and pleasure. And go give it unapologetically. Go out there and serve, and go out there and serve powerfully.
I love that. I love that part about service because I think a lot of times the idea of being an entrepreneur is very selfish, not selfless. And we focus a lot on like what we see online and what being an entrepreneur can give us in the lifestyle that we want. And I don't think that there's enough focus on how we can really help other people. You know, and I don't know. Have you ever struggled with that, like the ego side of being an entrepreneur?
I think that's the ticket, is checking yourself there. I'm sure there's certainly been times, but it is important, like you said, to check yourself. Why am I doing this? And I go back to my why, and it is to make an impact in people's lives. I love that, and it's what I live for, is seeing the light bulb go off and seeing people living their dream. But I do curb that, and I do try to wake up every single day and I ask myself, who can I serve today so powerfully that they never forget this conversation for the rest of their life? And as an entrepreneur, especially in the space that I'm in, I work with people who want to, you know, do laptop lifestyle, and I see, and one of the first things we do is pretty paradoxical to what people hire me for, is making money. And I say, okay, great. Take your mind off making money. Right. And let's go out there and be of service. Right. And they go, what the hell are you talking about? Right. So, but I say, you know, you have to learn to live presently. And if you're on a call expecting a sale, you're not going to be present in that call and you're not going to make an impact. So I want you to go into calls and go into your content and go into whatever you're putting out there in the world and make an impact and go be of service unapologetically without the expectation of getting anything in return. Because what ultimately ends up happening is that when your attitude is of complete service, prosperity and abundance, it tends to follow right behind anyway. Right? And don't take my word for it. Go out there and try it.
Yeah, right? I love that.
And that's been my attitude. And I think that's probably the reason why it's, you know, everything else is a really non-issue for me. You know, it's just because I am of complete service. And I think that's important for more entrepreneurs to do, to just go out there and, you know, don't be taken advantage of, you know, there's a level here, but just, you know, be of service and go impact some lives. Right. Because you never know too. Go out there and change somebody's life, and they might not, it might not be the right time for them to work with you now, but maybe they'll follow you on Instagram. That's pretty cool, right? They'll comment on your stuff, and then maybe they'll refer you to somebody. That's cool, right? Or maybe 2 years from now, I just signed a client who's been following me for like 4 or 5 years, 3 months ago, and she's been following me for a long time, and now is just the right time. it would have never happened for me had I not had it been like, oh, you don't have money right now. Go away. Right. And talk to me when you do.
You have to still serve even throughout that whole process. I feel like I could just talk to you all day. Seriously, this has been so inspiring. You've inspired me. I'm going to, after this podcast, I think I'm going to record another like solo cast just on how inspiring and motivating you've been. Because it's just been so awesome. I really appreciate you spending time with me, especially since it's like 6 a.m. in Australia right now. So thank you very much. I love it. Well, Travis, I have one more question for you. But before I ask it, I would love for you to share where people can connect with you online.
You can find me pretty much anywhere. Instagram and Twitter at Trav Barton, TravBarton. Facebook, Travis Barton. And then, of course, my website, TravisBartonLife.com. And I do take pride. If you do message me, I do take pride in trying to respond to everybody. Sometimes it takes a bit, but I do my best. So go message me. And I don't want this conversation that we've had. I felt like it was pretty inspiring. So the people listening, I want to hear what your big insight was from this and how are you going to plan on really stepping forward with this wisdom and this insight that you've gained through this conversation.
Yeah, guys, I will link up Travis's Instagram and his website and everything in the bio of this podcast episode. So if you guys want to just click his Instagram and then go DM him and you guys can connect, because I know he would love that. And I love building community with you guys. So that's a huge part of the reason I do this show. And I want you guys to connect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Travis. My last question for you, brother, is what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Means creating a life you don't need a vacation from.